listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast. 200 Fox Sports radio stations nationwide. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock now in Vegas. We got an action-packed Monday. Yeah, we got the standbys. What you expected. How did the weekend games go? How is tonight's game going to go? Could RJ possibly have won another prop bet so easily? Key questions across the land. But boy, Magic Johnson and the Lakers coming in strong today unexpectedly. And I think we've got some interesting takes on it. Joining us every day, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik here in Vegas. They've got all the college knowledge. Well, Brad, you've got all the college knowledge.
I don't know about Fez.
Fez has 80%. Yeah. Fez, NBA expert. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He is in LA. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start on Straight Out of Vegas here on a Monday with the gift that keeps on giving. That's the Los Angeles Lakers. More drama. This time, Magic Johnson, who stepped down from his role with the team about a month ago, appeared on ESPN's First Take earlier today and pretty much laid waste to Rob Pelinka and certain things that happened in the organization and sort of let it be known that he was not happy with the relationship he had with Pelinka and what went down there in LA.
But he did it as a gentleman.
Of course. Yeah, he always does.
The masters of PR like Magic, they can stick that knife in, pull it out, and you don't even see the glint of the blade. You just see you're bleeding. You know, Magic's like, you know, he's a hard worker, that Pelinka. In fact, why don't we start there? Because we got some sound. We kind of zeroed in on, I think, the most important parts of that interview.
Yeah, and that was Magic Johnson commenting on Rob Pelinka and the situation in L.A.
Let me go back to the backstabbing comment, because you said that when you resigned abruptly inside the Staples Center. Was it Rob Pelinka that you're talking about? Is it Rob Pelinka and other people within the Lakers organization? Who exactly were you talking
about? No, just Rob. I think that it's really funny as I sit here. I don't worry about those type of things. I'm not a guy who is like, oh, man, he said this about me, and I worry about it. What happened was I wasn't having fun coming to work anymore, especially when I got to work beside you, knowing that you want my position. And I'm okay with that, because this is what happened, Stephen A. I told him in year two, I'm only going to be here 3 years. So my job is, Rob, to get you ready for this position. You know, I was going to help elevate him to the president's position. When all this was coming back to me, and guys calling me saying, you better watch out for him. And then what was crazy was, when I took the job, you know how many agents called me and said, you got to watch out for him? And I said, I got to give the guy a fair chance. You know, I can't listen to people. But he was a hard worker, smart guy. Now you have that position. So I'm good with that.
Lot to unpack there. First off, that is an important point to realize. We were joking last week when it was announced they weren't going to hire a replacement for Magic, that if you're the number two, like Pelinka in theory was, the number one leaves and they don't hire a number one, you're number one, right? You're making the decisions. So in a way, Pelinka wins here, at least in the short term, when it comes to operational input control of the Lakers. Now, if he does well, celebration time for Pelinka. If he doesn't, there's a man to blame, right? So in a way, give Palenka the win there. I also think, and Jonas, you're in L.A., and obviously the Lakers are big across the country. You know, there's debate. You know, the wisdom, the industry wisdom is the Lakers are a big story everywhere. I kind of feel like that's true. We might take some calls on this and see what the rest of the country thinks, is how big this story is and what they think about it. But help me understand, Kobe and Palenka was his agent, correct?
Yep.
And they're still close. I mean, it's not just an agent, they're business partners, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Magic and Kobe, are they known to be close or just respectful?
Respectful, but they're definitely not enemies or anything like that at all, but always been respectful.
Because it seems like we've got three generations, including LeBron now, as superstars. I mean, the case could be, in fact, I don't even think it's a case. LeBron is the dominant player of the 20 years of this century so far, right?
Yeah.
And you could make the case if you shift it 10 years and go from, let's say, you know, Michael Jordan's retirement to 2012 or whatever, some variation, that's Kobe, right?
Yeah.
Kobe's the player during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how. Do you got to go to 2009 for LeBron not to take over? I don't know where the line is. But Kobe, for at least a decade, biggest player in the NBA post-Michael. And LeBron's been for over a decade the biggest player in the NBA. And Magic was the biggest player in the NBA for the, you know,
80,
at least 10 years. Larry, I mean, we can debate who's better, but Magic's brand, et cetera. And they're all Lakers. And I think they see a feeding frenzy with the buses in that, what's the chance? And it was funny. I listened to every second of the interview, and I listened to Stephen A's analysis after. And the thing you guys have to know about these media guys, and as I've gotten to know them, and I'm talking about the guys that have such a big name that they are connected, and that if Colin Cowherd, Fox Sports Radio, says something about OBJ, we're not wondering if OBJ heard it. We're thinking, how's he going to react? And he might react with a, I always think when people say tweet storm, it's like, are four tweets a tweet storm? We're like, what makes a tweet storm? But he's going to react, right? So these guys that are that big, like Colin, like Dan Patrick, like Stephen A., they hear a lot of stuff because the low guys below them, agents, whatever, they figure, I feed information to Colin. One day he's going to be on the fence about something I did, but maybe he puts in a good word. Maybe he puts a nicer spin on it because I gave him that info 2 years ago. Everyone's thinking it's all trading information for good coverage. That's kind of the basis of the media. We can kind of exalt the media as this sanctified institution. Maybe, but there's a lot of horse trading. There's a lot of mutual interest. And what ends up happening is a guy like Colin Stephen A, they can't tell you everything they know. So they, because that would betray the source. So they kind of shade what they say based on their inside info. And then you find out 3 months later it happens. And Colin goes, you know, I couldn't say it, but I was kind of trying to tell you guys this was going to happen. How many times, Brad, have you heard that?
A ton. Yeah.
So what I tend to do when I listen to someone like Colin so much on a regular basis is I try to read between the lines. I don't, on our personal relationship, I don't put him on the spot and say, what's really going on? But I read between the lines. And what Stephen A. said today says, hey, it just might be the buses might have to sell this Laker team. And it was just a weird spot for him to say it. My thought is, and Jonas being an L.A. guy, Magic's figuring there's some real chance that they're going to have to sell, or they will decide to sell the Lakers in the next 5 years. And who would be in the best position to be the front man and thus assume power, so not just a front man, but be the face, might be the way to say it, of the organization? Well, that's what Magic did with the Dodgers, right? Whatever pool he had, all those rich guys, no one knows their name, behind, If they get Magic, they're thinking, well, I'll own the team really, but having Magic on board will increase my chance of being accepted on the offer. It strikes me that this is all positioning between Kobe and Magic, where they're not necessarily trying to fight each other as much as understand what's our position going to be when it comes time of the real possibility the Lakers are sold. Because Kobe would love to be the front man, the face of the Lakers, right? So would Magic. It feels like there's a lot more going on here with the long game. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I Kobe Bryant, for sure, from everybody I've talked to, definitely has the ear of Jeannie Buss. He's the guy who recommended Rob Pelinka for the job, so he does have pull with Jeannie Buss. I though, would be shocked if they sold the franchise. I'd be shocked because Jeannie Buss cares so much about keeping it in the family that the only people they're willing to hire are people close to the family or people that know the family. So it would surprise me to see her just walk away from all of that.
But correct me if I'm wrong, there's multiple siblings that are in the subordinate role right now, but that are not happy about that.
I mean, if they were to overthrow her, like Game of Thrones or something like that, I mean, that would be fodder for years out here in L.A., but I just...
But when you say overthrow, that assumes she's supposed to be at the helm, but there was real doubt about that not that long ago, right? No, and then she emerged.
She's calling the shots for sure. She's the one in charge for sure. She's the one who got her brother ousted the first time because she wasn't happy with the direction of the organization. Yeah. She's the one in charge.
I mean, listen. Here's the thing that I think makes the chance real that the Lakers get sold in the next 5 years. And producer Daryl, when we make those long-term predictions, write it down. I'll make enough of them that, you know, pretty much anything that happens at some point, we can say. It's like the famous line on Cheers. Remember Sam was trying to sleep with Rebecca? And he finally did, like, 5 years into her being there. And he pulls out a sealed envelope. And he says, read this. Guy opens up, you know, might have been Cliff or whatever, opens up and goes, on June 23rd, 1991, I will sleep with Rebecca Howe. He goes, holy cow, how'd you know? He goes, oh, I write one of those every morning, seal it up in my pocket. So one day it'd be right. Well, we don't do that, but we do want to take credit when we are right. Here's why I think it happens. If you're like the Knicks owner, Dolan, all you've known is the city's mad at you. Right? I mean, if you listen to these hardcore Knicks fans, they hate James Dolan, like with a passion. It's like he's their nemesis. But it seems like he's behind his golden gates and doesn't really care. With the Busses, you've got kids that grew up and their dad was loved. The city of LA loved their dad. So if the tide turns to the point, let's say that it was even 60% as bad as the hate for James Dolan, if you're worth billions of dollars, because the Lakers will sell for, what, $4 billion is the estimate, I've heard? So if the family's worth billions, but you go to a restaurant and half the people are glaring at you, they're mad, what is it worth it? Or take the billions and go, and everyone's going to celebrate. You know, she goes up at some point and says, hey, we tried to run this the best we could. We care so much. And we think for the welfare of the Lakers, we are going to sacrifice and sell the team. I'm not saying for sure it's going to happen. But, boy, and let me ask you quickly, quick answer, Jonas. If the city truly turned on the Busses, you think they just trench warfare and just stay there hated for years?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, well, put that down for a bad prediction from Jones.
Right.
All right. Hey, we got it covered, though, right? Whatever happens, straight out of Vegas, we'll be able to take a bow. The other person can take that day off. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue with this discussion, play a little more Magic, and Brad Powers, very prescient, he built a team around players the Lakers have let go recently. And you won't believe how good this team is.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will take a look at what could have been for one team in the NBA.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, for the second straight show, my favorite temperature, 72 degrees. Fez, you may not know this. That's what they used to keep the Astrodome. And the neon is pumping.
So, RJ, we've been talking about Magic Johnson's comments on ESPN's First Take earlier, criticizing Rob Pelinka and the Lakers organization. There's only one way to make this even worse for Laker fans, though, is to talk about what could have been, and Vegas has broken down what could have been for that prestigious franchise.
Yeah, you know, this is interesting. Brad Powers, co-host here, did something interesting. Let's finish up what Magic said, and then we'll look at it, I guess, in reference to what he did. Because I tell you this, Magic, I'm a fan. I am just a fan. You know, he said something, he goes, it just wasn't fun for me. And like, I bet a big portion of the country groaned. You know, my dad was a coal miner like for 33 years. And I mean, under the ground. And they used to work 6 days a week, 10 hours a day. I mean, it was worth 60 hours in the mine. His whole life, and he's still alive. I guess I'm talking past tense about the work. But his whole life was trying to recover from how much he hated that job. And most people do a lot they don't want to do. You know, think about it. I mean, there's always exceptions. But anyone that's making less than 100K probably has some drudgery to their work. Doesn't mean it's not great. You know, school teacher. Obviously, a lot of school teachers love it with a passion. My mom was a 30-year school teacher. But she certainly didn't like all the parent-teacher conferences. She didn't like commuting in the snow. You know, there's elements. So why wouldn't Magic have to deal with things he doesn't like, right? But I think it brings up a great point. If you don't need to deal with things, like Magic couldn't spend all his money. He's worth almost $1 billion. So why do people work? They work for money. They work for self-satisfaction, to feel a sense of mastery, a sense of accomplishment. Well, if Magic's been reneged upon, and let's assume his side's right, that he was told he was going to have a certain amount of power, and then there was a reneging and it was taken away. He has a bunch of other businesses that are making, you know, not $1 million or two, but hundreds of, you know, 100+ million a year of revenue. So he's got things to put his energy into. Now, what else do people potentially work for? Notoriety, right? They want to walk into the bar and say, oh yeah, I'm the guy, the co-host with RJ Bell on Fox Sports Radio, you know? Something like Jonas he's working for notoriety, let's say. That makes sense. Or a sense of position in society. Because if you got to, I mean, think about it. Let's say somehow a brick of cash fell in your pocket. Well, I guess that'd be tough. Fell in your front yard and you scurried out, got it, no one knew, and you had $3 million. And let's forget the concerns about, oh, you know, are you going to be able to spend it, or are you going to have to hide it from the government? Let's just say you find a way to do that. But now you walk into a place and you're able to buy the steak and the lobster. You maybe even have a mansion and a yacht. But no one knows who you are and no one respects you. Now you consider like a well-liked mayor in a small town. That mayor's probably making like 30K. It's a part-time job in some small towns to be the mayor. But he walks in the bar, everyone's waving, smiling. Magic doesn't need any of it. He doesn't need the money, doesn't need the fame, doesn't need the respect. He's got it all. And the idea that he gets to decide what he does based on having fun or not, that sounds like the freaking American dream.
Yeah, it does.
Right? So one, I wish I was there. And I'm pretty lucky relatively where I am with what I have to do that I don't want to. I try my best to guide my life by make it enjoyable. Because even if it is work, you're not going to do it as well if you don't enjoy it. So, Fez, think about it. That's one of your challenges. I'm RJ Bowe, straight out of Vegas, recapping Magic and the Lakers, aftermath of the interview. You used to just bet. You used to be single. So at the end of the night or the day, you work hard, you put on that silk shirt that for whatever reason was a little tight around your breasts, and you went out and try to chat up the ladies, right or wrong?
On occasion, absolutely right.
Bruh.
Time. From time to time, as Randy Savage might say. And then if you wanted to sleep until 1, hey, no game started, right?
You can bet 24/7. Don't have to wake up early. Sure.
Now, he's like, oh, his voice is in his throat. He's worried where I'm headed with it. Now you're picking up kids from school, a kid from school. You're doing the chores around the house. I don't know if you wear an apron or not. I don't know what's going on. And you got to be here 2 o'clock every day at the pregame offices. Now, listen, to not have to really work, to get to talk to the nation on the radio and have your views discussed, that sounds like a dream job for most people. But you got to do something as opposed to whatever you wanted. So we all, unless you reach that, would you agree with that? Because you complain a good bit.
Absolutely. Because
for someone that literally has a dream scenario, you complain a lot.
Right. Now I got to drop off my boy at school. I can't pick him
up. No one wants to hear your problem.
I'm on air.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You're crying because you get to drop him off, but you can't pick him up.
I'm just disclosing. Boy,
Oprah ruined this country. I mean, I respect Oprah in many ways, but could you imagine, I don't know your dad, Brad, but I'm guessing he's a tough man.
Yeah.
Could you imagine him saying, oh man, my job's going well, to his best buddy? Forget to hundreds of thousands of people just now on the radio. Imagine him going, yeah, my promotion's great, but I get to drop little Brad off at the school from the farm, but I don't get to pick him up, and it makes me sad. You know, it's like an ennui in my heart. Could you imagine?
No, never in a million years.
Now, when you said that, did it feel right coming out? Like you should say somehow that only getting to go one way with your... Isn't there a bus to school?
Bus?
No, I'm serious. There's a bus, right?
No bus to the school he goes to.
So you're saying that the parents are obligated to deliver the kid to the front door?
Yes.
Imagine that, Brad. You wouldn't have had to sit in the back of the bus all that time.
That'd have been nice.
Ugh. Fez just got me off. I mean, the sad kind of, I only get to go in one direction.
Wow. Rich people's problems.
For sure.
Jesus.
But I mean, it makes the case. That's what a problem is to Steve Fezzik. Right? So in America, it's a great place, right? But it's just a situation where Magic's at that pinnacle. And even to Americans, it seems weird that he's belly aching, that it wasn't fun. I give the guy credit. And I'm going to give him credit one more time, because this is something a lot of people got on him about, was with the LeBron James stuff. So we've got a little sound from that, and that'll be the last thing we discuss with the Lakers.
That's right. Here was more from Magic Johnson talking about the LeBron James situation.
I respect LeBron, and I love LeBron. I love his family. But sometimes, as a man, you have to make decisions based on your well-being, right? And I made that decision based on me and my own happiness. So I could have done it a different way. Yes, he's right. But I did it my way. And that doesn't take anything away from our relationship or how I feel about LeBron. But sometimes, as a man or a woman, you got to make decisions based on your own happiness.
I mean, sounds like we planned that. I respect it. Now, you might say, yeah, but how much pain? Really, Magic didn't answer the question. It wasn't, why did you leave? It's, why'd you do it with seeming disregard for everyone else? Because it would seem, even if you didn't feel it in your heart, the time it would take to call LeBron and say, the only thing, this is Magic, the only thing that's holding me back from this. I know it's the right decision for me, but LeBron, I don't want to leave you hanging. You kind of let the other person say, oh no, Magic, you got to do what's best for you and I'll be okay. And now all of a sudden, for the time it took for that conversation, you decrease the chance of any animosity with one of the 10 most powerful people in the NBA, counting owners, counting.
Yep.
And it might seem like Magic seems so smart. Why wouldn't he have done that? Well, let me pose an example. Imagine you are working class. Imagine, let's say, minimum wage even. And you come home from a long day and you're hungry. You can pick up your phone and have food delivered to your door. And yeah, you're not going to probably get the shrimp, but you can have a decent meal delivered to your door. If someone tried to say, why in the heck would you waste money on that? An American in this first world country would look at him and go, what are you talking about? But imagine places in South America, Africa, other places in the world, the idea that they could hit a couple buttons on a screen and have someone walk up with a cooked meal seems crazy. It'd be like, what are you, the king of America? It's all about what you've known. What is your reality? And for Magic, since he was what, 16? And what is he now, 60?
Has to be.
Hey, Jones.
Hey, RJ.
He's 60 years old and always known for 42 years.
59.
Almost 60. Always known for almost 42 years is being the center of everyone's attention. So I agree. It seems, as much as I love Magic, it doesn't make a ton of sense that he didn't take that time with LeBron. But he's always been catered to. And in a weird way, that freedom allows him to have a joyous life. It allows him to make bold decisions. But also sometimes, well, it even allows him to say things like this. Oh, here we go.
I'm Magic Johnson. You know how many finals I've been in?
That guy doesn't sound like he worries about very much. And I think there's a lot of good sides to that. And I think sometimes, because of his reality, he doesn't think like the rest of us. And sometimes that can be bad. In just 1 minute, we're going to shift gears and start talking about the recap of the weekend. And then after that, we're going to be talking about tonight's game.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look ahead at a potential closeout game in the NBA playoffs later on tonight. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, as a Steelers fan, Big Ben feels like one of those husbands where the wife's been complaining for a couple years. And then she finally broaches the D word and says, you know, if this doesn't change, I'm going to divorce you and get out of here. And then all of a sudden, the next day, it's breakfast. And the next day, the guy's acting more like Fezzik does on a regular basis. But then 3 weeks later, it's kind of back to where it was. You know, it's like, if you're going to be taking some trip, why wasn't last year? Where's the pictures from last year's trip? So I like the Big Ben's trying to move in that direction. But come on, let's be honest about it. All right, Fez, let's look back over the weekend. Couple of takeaways. I want the headlines, because in a weird way, we've had Saturday pass, we've had Sunday pass. A 6 o'clock Eastern show like Straight Out of Vegas right here on Fox Sports Radio, we're reacting to the reactions, or we're listening all day. We're trying to other people, trying to hear what hasn't been said. And we try to add that in. What hasn't been said about the weekend's games?
Last night's game, Toronto wins. I was unimpressed with Toronto, RJ. I thought that Toronto won solely because Milwaukee had a bad game, particularly Milwaukee's two best players. Giannis had an off game, only scored 12 points. Chris Middleton, second best player for Milwaukee, 3 for 16, didn't even score 10 points. And despite that, Toronto needed double overtime to win as a favorite. And in that second overtime, early in that second overtime, Giannis fouled out.
Okay, I think that's a great point. Because if you just made a checklist and said, how did the key players play for one team? Let's say the top three, how the top three do for Milwaukee. Then we're looking at, you know, other factors. How well did everybody shoot? Foul calls. I heard Giannis didn't have, and I didn't notice this while watching the game. I was on a second screen, but he didn't shoot a foul shot till like 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So not getting the calls. And this is why maybe the assumption of a lot of NBA fans is that game three is going to be loaded the best way possible on the side of that home team. Because imagine, and we've got a case in point, as Jonas said here in a few minutes, we're going to be breaking down tonight's game. It's 3-0. The interest level in this series has plummeted. It's 2-1 in the Toronto series. Interest in game four, night and day, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And Toronto's top two leading scorers outscored Milwaukee's top two leading scorers by 40 points, RJ. If I told you that, and I said Toronto needed overtime to win, you're like, wow, the rest of the team for Toronto not stepping up at all.
So just to be clear, though, in game three especially, when it's 0-2, home team down, you cannot handicap that game without considering all the benefits of the home team down 0-2. Correct. So, like, tick off what are the objective benefits. We can say conspiracy theory, NBA is going to put an official in there that benefits the home team. And that's how the NBA would do it. They're not going to cheat, but they're going to put a favorable official that's affected by a home crowd that calls the game either loose or tight based upon what the home team would benefit from. You agree with that, right?
I do agree, yes.
Now, what are the other factors? Intensity of motivation.
Yeah, all-in effort for the team down 0-2, and we've seen that, frankly, in that first half trend where this team, the team that's 0-2 coming back home, came into this year 88-40 against the spread in the first half. They're 5-2 this year.
Just to be clear, because you said a lot of things, and then you said first half at the end. So the theory is that one of the most motivated times for an NBA team is going to be game three at home, down 0-2. But that motivation shows itself early in a game. Because you can be super excited for something, but if it's multiple hours since the game started, it's going to flatten out back to where the other team is. So the way to get at that, a lot of pro bettors have been betting the first half to get that crowd enthusiasm and player enthusiasm edge.
Exactly right.
And during those years, many years, even though the bookies knew all this stuff, whatever, whatever, the record was what?
It was 88-40 coming into this year.
For the home team.
5-2 this year, and we saw it last night. Toronto up at half by 7. Second half, Milwaukee's the better team. Toronto starting to run out of gas.
Well, I don't think run out of gas is the right way to say it. It's whatever edge they had motivationally flattens out.
Flattens out,
and
yes.
Then when they don't have that edge, Milwaukee seems to be clearly the better team.
Yes.
All right, last thing. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, talking to Steve Fezzik, and Fezzik is now having his Godfather moment, which is when Michael says, you're going to have to answer for Santino, Carlo. Van Vliet.
Oh, jeez. 1-for-11 last night.
Now, I was going to play this to cheer you up.
One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight.
But he didn't make 1 out of 10. He only made 1 out of 11. So that doesn't, even the miracle on ice doesn't apply. Now, we found out last week that Van Vliet was your second or third favorite player in all sports. Is that true?
He was, yes.
Yeah. And now, as you just said, a couple bad weeks, and you've been, I don't want to call it love, you've been in sports love with Van Vliet for how long?
Last 3 years.
And he's been playing bad for how long?
Since
in the playoffs?
Oh, throughout every playoff.
So a couple weeks.
Even last year.
But
the year
you
before,
still loved him.
I thought it was an aberration last
exactly.
year.
Exactly. You were able to overlook his failings until he had 3 straight bad weeks and 3 years of love go into the toilet. You're that transactional is what you're saying.
Oh, I'm very short term.
So, yeah. So if Brad did a few wrong things to you, it could be years of thing, and then Brad's out.
All that goodwill's out the window. Absolutely.
Now you know.
Duly noted.
When we come back, tonight's game broken down and a little bit of a bow for the amazing Enos Kanter. Two winners off of one pick. How does that happen?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted, and it's money-making time here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight on ESPN, it is Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. Golden State with a 3-0 series lead over the Trailblazers and a 2.5-point favorite on pregame.com.
Now, this might be hard to believe, but some people are still skeptical when I tell them something. You would think it'd be like, you tell him, he's proven it, but no. A lot of people are like, RJ, do you really believe that these NBA players that have their legacy at stake play hard or not hard, zigging and zagging, as we like to say? Tonight's game proves, if you look at the line, how strong motivation is when it comes to these NBA playoffs. Meaning, in some cases, a team's extra motivated, and others, not so motivated. So game three, when, in theory, Portland was max motivated, what was the line in the game?
Portland was favored, Portland minus 2.5.
Okay. Portland, who was clearly the inferior team. Now, what was the line? Or what's the line for tonight?
Well, the line's still 2.5, but now Portland is the underdog. There's been a 5-point line adjustment.
What's changed, right? Jonas, as a fan, you're thinking, down 0-3, they're going to be even more motivated. They can't lose this game.
Right.
But somehow, some way, Golden State relative to Portland is 5 points better than they were on Saturday. Case closed. Motivation matters, and the numbers, you would think, oh, I bet that team that's down 0-3 does well. They're actually below 500 against the spread.
Yeah, since 2003, those home teams down 3-0 only cover 40% of the time.
So we know that. We know motivation is a question. We also know, because we've been preaching it, the numbers say that Steph Curry led Golden State with maybe the best player in the NBA on the bench or somewhere not playing in a suit on his phone, somehow Golden State's better. That's what the numbers say. What do you say tonight, Fezzik?
I lean to Portland, and the reason I lean, RJ, you mentioned it. There's been a 5-point adjustment. Why is there a 5-point adjustment? Because typically, oftentimes, when a team is down 0-3 in the playoffs, they get discouraged. They even mail it in. The crowd isn't excited. But I think Portland is a unique team here. I think Portland has overachieved in these playoffs. Already has 2 upset wins in their first 2 series. And I expect the team and the crowd to still be very supportive of Portland.
Okay, hold on a second. If you're saying the line's adjusted 5 points, where if you're a Portland fan or better, instead of laying 2.5, you're getting 2.5. That is night and day. That is gold if you're right that somehow Portland won't be affected by this motivational malaise that seems to hit these teams down 0-3, then why wouldn't this be a gigantic bet?
Because I'm worried that Dame Lillard is not 100. Lillard has a rib injury.
Do you know who he's talking about?
Damian Lillard.
Okay, go ahead.
He has a rib injury. All right, it apparently he's had it since game 2, and it wasn't on the injury report, and he's been playing horrible. He's shooting 33%. I'm worried Lillard for Portland is not at 100%, and I'm also worried that their center, Enos Kanter, is barely going to play.
Okay, well, listen, we'll take our quick bows on this. I mean, never got as good feedback as when we won the first prop with Kanter on Thursday night's game. But then on Friday, we said, you know, we think this is still applicable. We get for the next game, and it was almost as easy. I mean, I guess it was easy. You only play like 9 minutes.
7 minutes.
Okay.
Fewest of the entire season, RJ.
So, listen, it goes to show you, if all you're doing is getting numbers and you're trying to find decimal point edges, it's hard to beat sports betting because of that vig, that minus 110. But if you watch, and this is what Fezzik does best, not always, but best, he'll see things other people aren't seeing. In this case, I saw it with Kanter, and boy, we cashed 2 nice tickets. Fez, you're leaning with Portland, but not alike in the game tonight. Tomorrow, we'll see if you were right.
The Odd Couple is next. We are Straight Outta Vegas. We'll be back again tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and also on the iHeart Radio app.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeart Radio app.